Right now, we have a movie review for you all because Cash wanted to review this film. And I said, okay, despite the fact that it is well outside my wheelhouse, and if not commanded to do so by Cash, and I always follow the orders of my captain, I probably wouldn't have done it otherwise.
So the movie is Ready Player One.
Yes.
And I've been a little bit geeked up to see this thing because I read the book. This is a book by Ernest Cline written in 2011. It is very... I'm going to let you kind of steer us through this thing, but those that read the book were really geeked up to see the film adaptation. It was actually... The rights to the book for a movie were actually bought before the book was actually out in public.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was such an automatically... Like, you could just tell that this thing was going to be made for a movie because it's... I'll let you get into the 80s, but there's a lot of references and stuff that endeared, evidently, people to what this could look like if taken from print to screen. And so people have been waiting for a long time for this thing to hit the big screen. But it also has a bunch of subject matter inside of it that I thought absolutely would not appeal to you, or that if you knew about what was... the movie was sort of about, you probably would say no. And I knew that you hadn't read the book.
No.
So.
However, the lady friend has.
Ah,
and
okay.
She loved it.
Okay.
She loved the book. But go ahead and set up a little pretext, just a little bit of pretext for those who may not be onto this.
Okay. So the movie is basically about, it's in a not too distant future Earth. It's 2034, something like that. Basically what's happened is there's this company that's been created, and they've created something called the Oasis, which is almost like if like Apple and Amazon, something, just this massive corporation created this other world, this AR world that you could jump into by putting glasses on and a bodysuit on. And basically, you know, because of loss of fossil fuels and money and jobs, people are living in small spaces. They can't go anywhere. They can't do anything. And this Oasis has turned into the way that everybody spends their life. Basically, your identity inside this, in quotes, game is more important than your existence.
Yes, it's what you are.
In the real world. It is
yes.
What you are. And so, well, I'll let you go into, because I really want to hear you explain it, and then I can fill in any color that
I don't know if
have.
I can explain it,
okay.
But I can tell you what I thought of it. Now, this is coming from the point of view of someone who has always taken a very dim view of this sort of thing, and someone who has played no more complicated a video game ever than Pong.
Pong.
And whatever the earliest, most basic, simplistic golf video games might have been. So that's all I got going into this thing. And I had no idea what I was going to think of this.
Pong's fun. Don't knock Pong, Cash.
Pong is fun.
There's nothing wrong with Pong. It's perfect. It almost didn't need to be improved on.
No, it didn't need to be improved on.
It's just little Mike playing Pong makes me laugh.
Yes, I like Pong.
Having a Pong. Okay.
So... all that said, against that backdrop, I was all ready to go into this thing.
Middle fingers extended.
Yes, middle fingers extended. I was all set not to dig it because I'd heard from people who had read the book and then saw the film that they didn't like the film very much at all. So I was all ready to...
That might have helped, actually.
Well, I don't know if it helped or not, but I was all ready to go in there, hang around until I just couldn't take anymore, which might have been, I don't know, half hour, 45 minutes, maybe an hour, and then walk out.
And?
I loved it, man.
Really?
Yeah, I did.
Dude, you gotta be kidding me.
It is visually stunning.
Yeah.
There is actual, legitimate story there.
Man.
Even though it's kind of hard for a novice like me to understand, but still, you're able to follow it.
Yeah.
and know what's going on.
I'm stunned.
And, yeah, I mean, I liked everything about this. I stayed to the end. I mean, I was not leaving until I saw how he got that third key.
Okay. Real quick, dust up into what the plot is sort of about so that you can, you know, at least know sort of what you're going in without ruining anything. This oasis was created by a genius that dies very early in the movie.
Yes.
And he has created...
And he is everything you think a video game creator would be.
Right. And I don't even know who that actor is. I should have looked that up. But he plays the genius dork perfectly.
Yeah.
And this world is so rich and so magnificent. And it's massive. It's as big as anybody's imagination could possibly be. And he has, in his last moments of his life, or he's probably planned up into this for a long time, planted three keys throughout this world. And if you can find the three keys, you get the, in quotes, egg, and then you get the actual oasis. You become owner of a...
You own the oasis.
...of a $500 trillion organization. And so, for 3 or 4 years, nobody even finds the first key. And then, without going into it too far, the race suddenly begins to happen as these people that have been hunting, and since this is the only thing anybody does, the idea of actually owning it all is, I mean... Like the
it's
biggest
mind-boggling.
Yes,
because this is the only thing anybody does, and everybody's looking for it.
And what is really amazing about what is interesting, I think, is that both the writer Klein and the main character in the movie were obsessed by 80s pop culture, and so there is so much pop culture in every inch of this film. I mean, the guy, his character, drives around a DeLorean from Back to the Future.
Yeah. You hearing this, Ty?
Oh, yeah. I'm interested in this, for sure.
You've read the book. You had to have read the book.
I have not.
Wow. This is so you, dude.
I've heard about it. I've heard I'd like it.
And I don't know. What did you... I thought it was going to be too weird for you. I didn't think they... Because it's not about a game. It's a regular story, but there's just a lot of 80s trivia, and there's some gameplay in order that... I mean, when you kill somebody, they die and turn into coins, and so that's how you pay for your comeuppance, is by collecting those coins that I didn't know if that was...
Oh, there's a whole lot of really weird stuff in there, and there's a lot of 80s in there, but I'm okay with the 80s. The 80s were all right, and are all right with me. But... Yeah, I mean, I was all ready for it to be that way, too. I had my guns up, and I was all ready to hate this and walk out of it and never look back and come in here and tell you you're an idiot for making me do this. And
I can't believe you like you. I can't believe you like this.
I can't believe it either.
I did, man. I did.
You have not seen this.
No, I haven't. And quite frankly, it's not something that I... Just sight unseen.
It is most decidedly not his bag.
Yeah, well,
I mean, just from hearing the fact that Mike liked it, I think I might like it as well.
I mean, it's just, there's so much stuff that, like, ties into your DNA that just flashes on the screen that you're just like, oh my God, that is a grenade from the Holy Grail from Monty Python that plays a kind of an important little part. Don't do that.
Do what?
Nothing. Or the Rubik's Cube. Just whatever. That plays... Excuse me.
You all right?
I'm fine. I
have a Rubik's Cube at my house.
See?
I don't have to go to the movies to see one.
Dan, it's not a movie about a Rubik's Cube.
You sure?
You're oversimplifying right now.
Yeah, it's not
quit
about
kicking
a
us
Rubik's
in the nuts.
Cube.
Yeah, so you were not... put off at all by story or by...
No, it had story.
Yeah.
I mean, it did have story, and I was all ready for it not to.
You thought it was just going to be a flashy... Another really interesting part to it, if you think about it, before the movie came out, I read a tweet, which actually, kind of to your point, gave me pause, because it was like Van Halen covering Van Halen songs in a way that Steven Spielberg... was directing or executive producing whatever he was doing for this movie, and so many of the parts of it were based on Steven Spielberg movies that he had done, and so there was people that were concerned about it being some sort of like rehash of whatever, but it was a complete rethinking.
That may be, but this is the kind of movie that I think only Spielberg could do it this way.
Yeah, you might be right. You might be right.
And I will admit, his name being attached to it was one of the things that I thought might be one of the saving graces of it for me.
Really?
You trust Steve?
Yeah, I trust Steve.
And Steve, you can trust?
You can most of the time, I think.
Yeah, you can, and I did. And in this case, I'm none the worse ready for it. Man, I was all ready to come in here and just, if we did anything at all on this, I was just going to rip it. Just going to torch it and say that only idiots like this. But no, that's not it. It didn't hit me that way at all.
I will say, I mentioned to you before this segment, I didn't know whether you liked it or not. There is one, for those that have read the book, there is one very big difference in the book versus the movie. There is a scene that has been added, and I thought it was one of the coolest damn things.
That's what we were talking about? Okay, yeah.
It is a reference to a very famous motion picture that is not touched in the book at all.
And you would think would have nothing to do with this.
Right. And it takes you to that place, that and very scary place.
It's really cool. It's one of the coolest things about it.
Yeah.
Is it as lucrative of an 80s reference find as, say, Stranger Things? Stranger Things is such an homage to that time. Is this kind of that way, or are they just carefully planted Easter eggs that give you a little sense of nostalgia as they pass by?
No, I would say this is that times 10.
Agree.
Okay.
Agree. This is you're diving into a world that is super saturated, freaking steroids of all that stuff. Like because the idea is you can turn yourself into anything. So you can wear, not Molly Ringwald. Who's the dude? Judd
Nelson?
Judd Nelson's outfit from Breakfast Club to walk into a club because you know that people will react to that. So you drive up in your DeLorean in Judd Nelson's outfit and then go, or you can drive Speed Racer's car or whatever. Like, it's almost sensory overload with so much cool stuff from your childhood.
It is. I mean, there's just, you get no rest in this thing.
No.
It's just something coming at you all the time.
Yeah. Hmm.
And it's kind of exhausting in that way.
It sounds confusing.
It's not at all. And I'm sorry if I'm making it sound that way, because it's really...
We're just trying not to give too much away.
I understand.
Yeah, there's some really easy help I could give you, but then I'm giving away things that I don't want to give away. I saw Isle of Dogs, too, the Wes Anderson movie,
mm-hmm.
and I almost felt that movie... I spent myself concentrating so much because I love his work so much. It's almost like a genre unto itself. That everything is so perfect in that movie that I almost can't take it in all at once. To whereas mm-hmm. this felt like the right side of what's wrong about that.
Yeah.
This movie felt like I was just soaking it in as much as possible, and I couldn't wait for the next little reference or the next whatever, giant from my childhood or some video game that come to life.
But it moves awesome. So fast, you can't soak it all in.
No.
I mean, you probably need to see it again.
I think I might.
Check it out, though. It's good stuff.
Ready Player One.
Ready Player One.
Come on, Danny, go see it.
All right.